The disciples of Christ were early called Christians. The term means Christlings, people who are like Christ. Does this describe you? Is your character like that of the Savior? Now, this is what sanctification really means. Salvation, sanctification. These blessed twins of grace describe the great benefit that has come to you in Jesus Christ. Salvation is the state of blessedness enjoyed by the person who is trusting Jesus. Sanctification is the unfolding of Christ's own character in the life of the believer. The life of Christ is imparted in salvation and manifested in sanctification. Now, I speak of no unusual spiritual state reserved for a few elite believers. Quite the contrary, sanctification is the normal Christian experience. To be saved means to be sanctified. Sanctification is spoken of in three tenses in the Scripture. First, one who believes Jesus is sanctified immediately. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, "As to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." The reference here is to positional sanctification, since in salvation one is set apart, sanctified as a child of God. Second, one who believes in Jesus is being sanctified daily. This is the consequence of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by which we are changed into the image of the Lord and reflect the glory of His divine life. This is called experiential sanctification, since it is experienced by maturing Christians. Third, one who believes in Jesus shall be sanctified eternally. One day Jesus shall return, take us up to meet Him in the air, and conform us to His likeness in our bodies as we are already made like Him in spirit. This is called ultimate sanctification, since it is God's last act in preparing us for His personal presence in heaven. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 records this prayer: "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What does it mean to be sanctified wholly? Now, this is not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, sanctified entirely, completely. It means that sanctification applies to the spirit, to the soul, and to the body. The spirit is sanctified at conversion, when one is born again of the Holy Spirit. The soul, otherwise called the life, is sanctified daily as one lives under the dominion of the Holy Spirit and in the fullness of Christ. The body will be sanctified when Jesus comes and raises us up with glorified bodies like His own. Now, God had this full scope of sanctification already planned for you when He saved you. Salvation is the basis of sanctification. The unredeemed human nature can never be sanctified. Sanctification is possible only when one becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. When old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Salvation marked the beginning of your sanctification. From the moment you received Jesus as Savior and Lord, you began to walk in newness of life according to a new nature within you, not in the old ways of the unregenerate. In salvation, you were cleansed and set apart as belonging uniquely to God. Whatever may have been your former character or conduct, it may now be said of you, "Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Jesus has made wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption for you and for all who are in Christ. This is not to say you will never sin. It does mean that you belong to God and that God's Holy Spirit is at work within you to conform you to the image of your Savior. It all begins with that initial experience when you invite Jesus to come into your life as your Savior and Lord. There is a practical challenge involved in the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctification challenges the believer to grow to spiritual maturity. God says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This challenge is extended to each Christian. But how can we grow? The Apostle Peter answers, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." The Apostle Paul adds, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Spiritual growth is based on what we receive from Jesus Christ. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Sanctification challenges us to live like sons of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If anyone suggests that you can be a Christian and go on making sin the normal course of life, the Scriptures reply, God forbid. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? The Christian should see sin as Christ sees it. He is to hate and shun sin. Since sin is contrary to God's nature, it is contrary to his own nature as a child of God. He has been delivered from the penalty of sin, is being delivered from the dominion of sin, and will be delivered from the presence of sin. So why live any longer therein? Sanctification challenges us to reflect the character of Christ. The disciples of Christ were early called Christians. The term means Christlings, people who are like Christ. Does this describe you? Is your character like that of the Savior? If it is, are you really making your conduct agree with your character? Now, this is what sanctification really means. The goal of the Christian life is that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Jesus admonished, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Your life could have no higher fulfillment than this. The sufficiency of Christ is the key to sanctification. A man no more sanctifies himself than he saves himself. Both salvation and sanctification are God's work. He has provided a divine sufficiency for the sanctification of believers. It is commonly called the fullness of Christ, or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:19 reads, "It pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell." The fullness of what dwelt in Jesus? Colossians 2:9 answers, "In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The absolute totality of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ. The amazing fact is that Jesus shares this divine fullness with us who trust Him. John 1:16 reads, "Of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Colossians 2:10 adds, "You are complete in Him." What an amazing truth. The believer rejoices in God's provision in Christ, saying, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ." As to the present, the believer is assured, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Regarding the unknown future, he's just as confident, being able to affirm, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." When I speak of your sanctification, I speak not of something beyond you, but of a divine work already begun in you. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your part is to cooperate humbly with the work God is doing. Cultivate a spiritual hunger and thirst. Arouse an expectation in your heart for the work of God. Be content with nothing less. Keep this principle in mind. Christ lives in me. I must respond that His divine life may express itself in the fullest possible sense. This is sanctification, and this is what God had in mind when He saved you.